Y'all, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. But tonight is that Friday Night Fire. This is the Three Bros Fantasy Show. As we head into Week 10, we're in the stretch part of the season. You know, either you solidify your spot in the playoffs, or you fighting to get in the playoffs, or if you me in one of my Premier Leagues, you just want to kind of finish strong going into next year. But that's neither here nor there. But let me introduce my bros. And I got my bro out in North Carolina, Jermaine. What's going on, man?
Man, what's going on, big dog?
Oh, nothing, man. Just maintaining, bro. Just getting through it. Hey, what up, big bro? What you up to out there in Florida? Hold on, I gotta pull him in again. Hold on. I see you, bro. Hold on. Yo, what up, Carl?
You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, just trying to survive the times, brother.
Yeah, man. Happy Veterans Day, fellas.
Hey, yes, man. Happy Veterans Day, everybody. To all of you who served and in the service, we appreciate you.
Yeah, man. But, yo, week 10, y'all. Hey, big week, man. Big week. I know last week I lost a tough one, man, but, you know, new week. But let's talk about last night's game. Kind of a snooze fest. Really wasn't too much scoring. But, you know, it was Thursday night game. Really don't think we got really much to talk about. So I'll let you talk on the Miami side, Carl, being that you down there in Florida. What did you like? What did you didn't like last night for the fantasy
perspective? Fantasy perspective, man, hey, I like the way the defense played. I mean, I got him in one of my leagues, and unfortunately I had him on the bench. But, I mean, who really thought Miami was going to beat Baltimore with that running game that they got? I sure didn't. So, you know, they sat on my bench and promptly collected 18 points. They was really banging last night against this team. They met strength with strength on the D line. I was impressed.
Okay, man, that you brought up Miami's defense, let's talk a little bit of real football before we get to Jermaine of Baltimore. I thought Miami played a good defensive strategy against Lamar last night. Right. I always said everybody think I don't like Lamar Jackson. That's not true. I just think in the NFL you got to be able to win the game from the pocket. Last night, Miami stopped the run, and then they was coming with zero blitzes. It was like, you're going to have to throw the ball, bro. Do you see more teams doing that, or you think that's a one-off?
Well, I think, you know, anytime somebody has a scheme that seems to work, everybody tries to mimic it. But the problem is not having the personnel.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I do see that a lot of teams are doing to the Ravens is they bring their blitz from the weak side, and or whatever side that defensive end, whatever side they're trying to throw that quick pass to, quick screen, and they knocking it down every time. So they taking that element away from the offense. That's how they lost last week, you know, because when they throw the interception in overtime, and then it happened to them again this week. Well, they didn't catch it, but they sure was knocking it down.
Yeah, I think another thing is I think teams are making Baltimore, if you're going to send Andrews out on a route, we coming from his side.
Yes, sir.
We coming from his side because they never really split Andrews out. They always have him in line. So they might have to adjust that, you know. But yeah. I thought last night, you know, man, it really wasn't nothing really Miami did on offense. You know, Tua was slated to be on the bench. Nobody probably started Jacoby Brissett. I made a mistake of starting Myles Gaskins after the week he had last week. I should have known better. But I was kind of in a quandary because I didn't know because I got Nick Chubb and Chris Carson also, and kind of found out both of them out this week. So
right.
I had to go with Myles Gaskins just in case. So, you know, it is what it is. You live and you learn. At least he didn't give me a negative. So,
there you go.
Zero and negative are the worst. So,
yes, sir.
At least he didn't give me a zero and negative. All right, Jermaine, talk to us about Baltimore last night on the fantasy side.
I mean, with Josh, I mean, he didn't have a world-beating performance. He got 18 points, 18.42 points in Yahoo, 238 yards passing a touchdown. The thing with Lamar Jackson, even though he didn't have a great game passing-wise, he's a dual threat. So he's always going to get you points. The thing I am concerned with, though, this is the second game out of five games where he's been held under 20 points. The last game was the Chargers when he only got 15 points, like a little over 15 points a game. And it was pretty much the same blueprint that Miami got. And I would have to say it's a copycat league in the NFL. Well, do we think that more teams are going to try this? Absolutely. But you guys, you bring up a great point. Teams are going to do it until they stop it. The one bright spot I will say that was kind of unexpected, but I've been following Rashad Bateman. He actually had a pretty good game. He had six catches, 80 yards. That's the second game that in a row that he had pretty good, pretty good yardage. But outside of that, Andrews had a touchdown. He saved me fantasy-wise with that. You already know Andrews is going to show up. But other than them two, man, nobody came to play. So who else is there really that you're going to play from the Ravens? Because Hollywood Brown you already know he's up and down. So outside of them, those couple of players, there was really no one that you could count on fantasy-wise this game.
Yeah, I had Andrews. Of course, he's a must start. I had Devontae Freeman like three weeks ago. I had to pick him up off waivers because Seattle was on a bye and some other stuff. So he ended up getting a touchdown that week. But it's just hard, man, because, you know, the Ravens offense, you know that they can't run the ball. Their offense just seems to fall apart because nobody really respects the passing game. So, but, you know, I think the Ravens, Greg Roman, man, he has to start coming up with plays that gets Lamar on the move. Start keeping him in the pocket. You got to, like some semi-bootlegs. You know, move the pocket. You got to do stuff to get him on, especially when you know your offensive line ain't that good. Because when he got sacked last night four times, he got sacked one time, man, that defensive lineman was not trying to tackle him. He was trying to hit him. And I was like, whoa. I was like, man. Because he came in with the kill shot. But, you know, we'll see what happens down the road with the Ravens. They're the AFC. The AFC is kind of top heavy. No, the AFC is kind of well-rounded. It's the NFC that's top heavy. But we'll see, down the road what they do, because they still got Cleveland twice. They got Pittsburgh twice. They got to go to Cincinnati. So we'll see what they do. But, look, man, let's talk some real football. Hey, this week we had two big signings. And I'm going to come to you on this one, Jermaine. Cam, coming back to Carolina. What we thinking?
Man, I think that was a solid, solid signing, man. The quarterback, I think position on offense is all that is needed in Carolina. You got great weapons. We all know that Donald, man, he is not the answer, bro. That was a wasted trade. But Cam, I don't think Cam's going to come in there and, you know, blow the lights out, but he's going to be solid enough to where I feel they can run the offense that my man, he really wants to run. I think that he's able to get the ball to the playmakers a whole lot better than Donald was. Man, I'm telling you, I think Cam can lead the Panthers to the playoffs. Outside of, I mean, of course, Tampa, you already know they're going to be there in the end, but outside of them, man, it's wide open, man. I think they can catch some fire with Cam, man.
Man, I got to see what his arm looked like because, you know, he really hasn't been able to throw the ball down the field since he had that shoulder surgery. He couldn't throw it down the field in New England. Then Mac Jones kind of sort of beat him out. But I think that had more to do with him not being vaccinated. But, oh, man, I think the biggest benefactor from Cam being there is going to be Tommy Tremble and, of course, Christian McCaffrey. Robbie Anderson should already be cut on most people's teams.
Mm.
Cam does have some rapport with DJ Moore, but can Cam get him the ball? I think that's going to be the biggest thing that we're going to have to see. What's your thoughts, big bro, on Cam going back to Carolina?
I think it was a good move by them. I'm concerned with his arm. I do think I was surprised that he came back because I felt like, you know, his theatrics had worn thin in Carolina. But I think this may be a situation where he is the best option out there and they have dire need of a quarterback. And why not bring back a fan favorite who they really didn't want to let go fan-wise in the first place? I don't think it's going to make a big difference long-term. They still got questions at the quarterback position. Like you said, Darnold is not it. I don't think at 4-5 they in a position to make a run to get to the playoffs. So I don't think it's going to save their season. I think maybe it'll help them put some butts in the seats. But that's really about it as far as I can see. And it's what was it, a 1-year deal?
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah, so you know. They're just trying to keep some season ticket holders for the following year. Then they'll make a decision probably in a draft or via free agency on another quarterback. Because like you said, Darnold ain't it.
Yeah, I think what you said about – I mean, their next couple of games, I got to throw this in there. They got 2 winnable games against Washington and Miami. But looking at the schedule, they do have the Bucs. The Bucs twice. And plus the Saints, so yeah, it's gonna be a little tough. It is gonna be a little tough for them.
Well, I don't know about winnable against Washington because we kind of own them. So if there is a team that we kind of own, it is Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Plus Ron Rivera be coaching against Cam, and you know he know Cam's weaknesses and strengths, but I think the one move Carolina messed up at was picking up Sam Darnold's 5th-year option.
Yeah.
You know, so basically they tied into that $18 million next year for his 5th-year option. But I think it puts them – they have to be in a Deshaun Watson sweepstakes next year. They can't stand pat with P.J. Walker, Sam Darnold, Matt Barkley – and then they're not going to be at the top of the draft. So you already got to say Detroit probably is going to draft a quarterback. You got to say Houston definitely going to draft a quarterback. And I think if we get a chance to watch the football team, we definitely need to take a quarterback. So it all depends on how the chips fall. But them picking up Donald's 5th-year option was definitely a bad move. But we just got to see how Cam plays. All right, big boy, I got to come to you for this because this is basically in the NFC, and it's a move that some people think might change the course of the NFC. I'm not one of those people. But we got Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Rams.
Yeah.
How you think that's going to play out?
For Odell, I'm with you on the period, but I'm just starting with Odell. I would not have chosen the Rams. Not the way that Odell carries himself, diva-ish. You know, that team is already stacked with Cup, and who's hitting like 33% of the passing plays towards him. You got my man Van Jefferson, who's up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
You got Higbee, who's the second leading receiver on that team as far as targets go. And they just cut Deshaun because, you know, it just wasn't working out because he wasn't getting the opportunities. So what makes Odell think that he's going to get the opportunities in that offense that he doesn't even know yet? I don't see it. I don't even see it really helping the Rams right now. And maybe it'll help them come playoff time because he would have been there long enough to absorb the playbook. But right now, it changes nothing for me as far as the Rams. They already a great team, you know. There's nothing else about it. I mean, I was not impressed. I thought he should go to Green Bay.
Yep.
Or maybe Kansas City. Because neither one, I mean, besides Devontae Adams, he could have stepped in as number two right then in Green Bay.
Automatically as a number two.
Yep, mm-hmm. Automatic. And if he went to Kansas City, he was stepped in as a number two behind Tyreek.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, in LA, my man is like fourth or fifth.
Yeah. And I think last week I said I thought he should have went to the Raiders. If I was the Raiders, I would have claimed him on right waivers. Number one, mm-hmm. you lost Ruggs. Number two, you bring in Deshaun, but Deshaun is a one-trick pony. You really don't have a number one wide receiver. So
yeah.
Odell could be your number one wide receiver with Deshaun taking the top off, Bryan Edwards being Bryan Edwards, so you still got Waller. So I thought the Raiders would have been the better fit. But if he wanted to go to a team with a top-notch quarterback, Green Bay was definitely the place to go. But going to the Rams, this seemed more to me like what everybody was saying about LeBron when LeBron went to L.A. To me, it seems like more of an off-the-field move than an on-the-field move. So we have to see how it play out. But Van Jefferson was so good, he ran Deshaun Jackson out of town. So it's like, really? So Stafford is under a lot of pressure, man, because now, you know, Cooper Kupp is getting all these targets, and it's the made Robert Woods kind of sort of obsolete. Although he had a good year, he still might reach – he got a chance to reach 1,000 – but he not having a Robert Woods year, man, I just think Stafford, he's going to have to really, really stop focusing on Cooper Kupp and look at Woods, Odell, Higbee, and spread the ball around, and that'll keep defenses honest. Because now, I think you could double-team Cooper Kupp, and I think Stafford will be lost.
Oh yeah,
I like Cooper Kupp is Megatron.
Hey, but that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
yeah. But what was you thinking when Odell signed with the Rams, little bro?
Yeah, I don't think it was a good fit either because personality wise, man, that is so. I mean, I think a lot of teams they overlook that, and him being third on the pecking order. I just didn't think that was going to be a great fit. Me too. I would have thought maybe the Kansas City Chiefs would have been a better deal, or especially moreover, I think Green Bay. But I think Odell just saw them L.A. lights, bro, and that's what he wanted more than anything, man. I just don't know if he's committed enough in this point of his career to really be – a difference maker anymore. I think he should have signed with Green Bay or Kansas City myself.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's only a 1-year deal. So, you know, once again, he can weigh his options at the end of the year. I think he probably – everybody keeps saying he didn't go to Green Bay because he don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. Number one, they wasn't going to sign you to a long-year term. It ain't like you was going to get a multi-year deal. You was only going to ride all the year. So what Aaron Rodgers going to do had no bearing on your decision. So, but, you know, man, it is what it is. We'll see how it play out.
Well, I
really
think ring-chasing.
Go ahead.
I think he ring-chasing. 1-year deal, he going with the team he think can get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. We didn't want him. We couldn't take him here, and probably we couldn't afford him, and we got no room for him here in Tampa. If he's ring chasing, which I think he is, and he wanted to come to the NFC, then he could even went to the Cowboys.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm quite sure the Cowboys would rather have Odell Beckham Jr. than Michael Gallup. But at the same time, it's like the Cowboys want to run the ball.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he looked at any team that want to run the ball first. So
yeah.
We'll see how it play out, man. But, you know, last week, you know, Big Bro wasn't on. Me and Jermaine talked about the college football rankings. I found it interesting last week. I found it even more interesting this week. So, Jermaine, I'm going to come to you, man. Who did you have as your top four teams this week?
Definitely Georgia. Of course, Georgia and Alabama, 1 and 2. I definitely like Ohio State, man. Ohio State, I feel, is going to be there, and I still would say Oregon.
Kick Oklahoma out of your top four?
I don't think Oklahoma could beat Ohio State. And Oregon, man, bro, Oregon's playing good football. I know that was, the situation with Washington. But I just don't – the uncertainty at quarterback up there in Oklahoma, that's the one thing, man, that I think is going to hurt them when they go up against these other teams. I think the biggest travesty, too, how the heck are you going to rate Michigan over Michigan State, bro? Come on, man.
Oh,
like,
my
that's
God.
Some craziness, man. How are you going to rank a team that's one loss over the team that beat you?
Man, bro. And then the guy that was on ESPN that was talking on behalf of the commission, he was like, although Michigan State did beat Michigan, we have to go based on weeks. And I'm like, bro, the only reason Oregon is ranked ahead of Ohio State is because Oregon beat Ohio State head up.
Right.
So come on, man, you can't use that, dog. No, don't talk to us like we ain't paying attention. Just like if Cincinnati was to lose, they not gonna fall under Notre Dame because they beat them. So, all right, big bro, who you got in your top four?
Similar to Maine, I got Georgia, I got Alabama, I got Ohio State in front of Oregon. Even though I know, you know, the end result with that, but I still think they're the better overall team. And then I throw Oregon in there. And Oklahoma. I ain't even thinking about Oklahoma, bro. I don't trust their quarterback position, so I don't trust it at all. But I think it's all gonna come down to the SEC championship game with Georgia Alabama. Whoever wins that game probably wins everything.
That's it.
I think putting Alabama at 2 and setting them up to be in the college football playoffs regardless because if they lose, basically you're gonna say they lost to the number one team in America. So how did where you slide them at? So you gonna slide them from 2 to 5, 2 to 6? No, you probably gonna slide them from 2 to 4. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But even if they go to 4, they're gonna have to play Georgia again. So because Georgia will get the 4th seed.
Yeah, I hear that. But I think a lot of things will have to happen behind Alabama in order for it to happen, because they already took an L this year and only dropped down like 2 spots.
Yeah. Hell, but they took an L and they got number 2 though.
Yeah, but they've climbed up to that point, you know, to get it going. But like I said, if they lose to Georgia, Oregon, let's say Oregon wins the Pac-12, and Ohio State wins the Big Ten, then you got the group of 5 that's going to slide in, which would be Cincinnati. Michigan or Michigan State.
No.
I mean, that, what's going to happen is if these guys win out, okay, Michigan State is going to jump Michigan because of the head-to-head. I don't care what they say right now. They're going to jump because of the head-to-head.
And that means they will have to jump Ohio State, too, because they still got to play Ohio State.
Right. So that's what they're saying. It's all going to work itself out behind Alabama.
Yeah. Well, once again, I gotta represent the little guy, man. I'm going with Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, and Cincinnati.
No.
I had Cincinnati in my top 4 last week, and I'm staying there. I'm staying there with Cincinnati. I got OSU at 5, and I got Michigan State at 6. I'm giving Cincinnati some respect. Don't nobody want to play them out of their non-conference. Ohio State took them off their schedule. Ohio State took them off. They went to Indiana. They went to Notre Dame. Yes, they had a tough game last week. But who didn't have a tough game last week? Oregon struggled. Ohio State kind of struggled last week. Alabama struggled last week. Who didn't struggle last week? So I can't not have them in my top 4, and I had them in the top 4 last week. Now, I think they're struggling again tonight. So depending on what they do tonight, it might change my mind, because they play at South Florida tonight. So
they was up 31-7 last time I looked.
They was up 31-7?
Yeah, well, last time I paid attention.
Okay, because they looked like they was kind of sort of in a shootout when I was watching. So, but I'm rooting for the little guy, man. Let the little guy get in there, even though I know they don't want to. Man, boy, they had to play Alabama or Georgia on a neutral field. Man, I think Cincinnati got a good defense, but I don't know about their offense going against some SEC defenses. So, but I got Cincinnati in there. But all right, man, let's get to it, man. Week 10. We got Chicago on the bye, Cincinnati on the bye, the Giants on the bye, Houston on the bye. So that means you losing David Montgomery, Allen Robinson, Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Uzama, Brandon Cooks, Devontae Booker, Daniel Jones. And then come to find out, Chubb isn't playing this week. Chris Carson isn't playing this week. Antonio Brown isn't playing this week. Kamara isn't playing this week. Gronk isn't playing this week. So you got a lot of players out this week, man. So you got to navigate your lineup to kind of go around these injuries and these buys. Plus, you know, there are some players out there that's been in the backup role that's actually, you know, doing good this year. So, all right, little bro, coming at you, man. Who quarterback you sitting this week?
I'm sitting Jalen Hurts this week, going up against the Broncos, man. The thing about Jalen Hurts Going up against, if you're not used to playing in Mile High, that's one thing already. But the Broncos have been playing exceptional defense. Even without Von Miller, them boys are still going to be balling. They're giving up the third fewest points to quarterbacks. In the last 2 weeks, Jalen Hurts has not played well, man. He's got 22 points, 18 points. The last two games, only one touchdown. And the thing that's concerning, man, he's only had 14 attempts and 17 attempts in the last two games. So I know they're not really passing the ball a lot. And I think the Broncos are really going to clamp down on him, especially with, you know, injuries going on at the running back position. I don't see him having a great game this week.
Well, I think the one thing he's going to have going for him, it ain't going to be cold Sunday. So he's going to have that going for him. So I was actually, somebody came up to him and was like, yo, you want to go to the game Sunday? You know, $130. You know, I was like, no, I'm cool. Why would I go see the Eagles play when I ain't even go see my own boys play? So, no, I'm good.
Wow.
So, but I'm calling the shot now. Next year when the Bucks play Carolina, we all got to go, man. Since I'll
man,
be back, we all got to make that happen.
That's a bet.
All right, Carl, give me a quarterback you see.
Man, I'm sitting. Oh, wait, did you say sitting?
Sitting. Remember, we always do the sit first.
Oh, no, you good. I was prepared for start. But I'm ready. I'm sitting Ryan Tannehill against the Saints, man. New Orleans giving up only the 11 fewest fantasy points quarterback, and giving up the third fewest to running back. So where does that leave Tannehill at when he already missing his main weapon for the rest of the year? You know, my man AP ain't gonna come and save the world. He don't have that cape on right now. He just got to, even though they let him run the Wildcat last week. That was crazy to me. But I really suspect that they're going to struggle this week because New Orleans defense, they fly around, man. And I never trusted Tannehill at the quarterback position. Even with the wide receiver weapons he got, they underachieved because they give everything to the running back. So they got to revamp everything. And I think they played great last week, but I think reality is going to kick in this week. And I think I expect New Orleans to pull out a victory.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think it's going to be the defense ain't going to play as good as it played last week against the Rams. I think that was kind of like a shocker. So I think it's going to be a lot more pressure put on Tannehill this week. Although the Saints defense gave me cause to pause last week because Matt Ryan ate their ass up last week. So, but, you know, that's a division game. So you kind of sort of expect stuff like that to happen. But,
Right. Okay,
you're going with Tannehill. Man, I'm going with a guy that I know they had a big win last week. Cleveland, they had a big win against Cincinnati. But this week they're going against Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick is going to stop the run. He's going to load up to stop the run. He's going to make Baker beat them through the pass game. The passer number 7 in total defense and number 4 in scoring defense. Man, I think Baker's going to have a tough day. The only way he won't have a tough day is if D'Ernest Johnson can be that guy that everybody picked up on that Thursday night against Denver, and he have 100-and-some yards, and he looked good. But outside of that, I don't see it happening. I think Baker struggles, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he struggles. All right, Carl, give me a running back you sitting this week.
Man, I'm sitting y'all, boy. I'm sitting Antonio Gibson and not being a homer. I'm just looking at the stats. Tampa giving up six fewest yards to running back in football. And performance-wise, Antonio hasn't scored more than 5 points in 3 straight weeks. It makes no sense to start him unless you hurt him because you had Kamara or you had Derrick Henry and you're just struggling trying to find somebody that's actually going to, you know, put a pulse on the field, then I understand it. But if you can avoid putting him out there, I wouldn't do it. You might mess around and get you a negative.
Yeah, I think McKissick is the play this week for the Washington football team because McKissick is the better receiving back. So I think McKissick is the better back. Plus Gibson been hurt, man, and I never understood his high draft predictions. People saying he first round, top of the second. I never agreed with that, but. You know, he had kind of sort of a good year last year, but was it really that good? So
I mean, depending on the standards you're looking at, I guess.
Yeah. All right, Jermaine, give me a running back you're sitting this week.
Yeah, man, Carl hit it earlier, bro. AP. I actually picked him up. I mean, he pretty much fell in the end zone. He's about 90 years old. I mean, the thing about it, man, he's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And I'm putting the emphasis on dust, man. He's not going to give you explosive plays. The thing about it, going up against, what was that? I think it's Tennessee, the Saints. The Saints only giving up 75 yards a game anyway. And I think AP's in the timeshare. You got Nichols there. You got Foreman. I don't think if AP doesn't score, he's not going to give your fantasy team any points.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely stay away from him this week.
Man, I was kind of disappointed in Tennessee, man. It's like y'all done had Jeremy McNichols on y'all team. I want to say for two of the last three. I want to say it's been 3 years. It's like, bro, give him a chance. You see what you got? Get a guy a chance. Plus, I remember him in college. He played at Boise State. He can run the ball. He can run it. He can catch it. Now, I like Foreman because in Foreman, when you see him run, he look like a little Derrick Henry. They run the same way straight up, got kind of sort of the same deal. And then when they was talking about, you know, they was calling her Gurley and Frank Gore. It's like, wow, y'all calling all these old dudes. Man, me and Jermaine talked about it. I'm like, they should be on the phone with Denver about Melvin Gore. You should be on the phone with Houston about David Johnson or Philip Lindsay. It's like, man, y'all got other options instead of these old guys. But I'm a sit, man. All right. This is more of a personal vendetta sit than anything else. Nelson Melvin Gordon, man. Come on, Denver. Javonte Williams is the better running back. Why are y'all so hell-bent on Melvin Gordon? Williams showed last week why he should be the running back, the RB1 for Denver. I'm hoping that his snaps and touches go up as the season goes on because he's just the better running back. He's more explosive. He can catch the ball also. Come on, said Melvin Gordon, man. This personal reasons, you know, I just wanted to get that off my chest, man. All right, Jermaine, man, give me a wide receiver you said.
I'm sitting my man DJ Moore, bro. He got J.J. Walker throwing the ball. I mean, P.J. Walker. They might as well be J.J. Walker, bro. My man, he don't got a chance because with their quarterback situation, until Cam get there, I mean, he's almost unplayable, man. So the last three The last 5 weeks, man, he's finished wide receiver number 58, 38, and 26, man. He's only averaging 7.8 points. It's a travesty, man. They got such depth. They got such depth and quality at their wide receiver position, but they ain't got nobody to give them the ball. So definitely sit DJ Moore this week.
Man, that hurt because I was sitting him too, man. First couple weeks of the season, I thought he would be like somebody you would only sit because of a bye week, or maybe he got hurt. But man, but when the quarterback struggles, hey, the wide receivers and the tight end struggle.
Amen.
Okay, all right, big bro, give me a wide receiver you sitting this week.
Yeah, I'm sitting the Moore too, Elijah Moore, going up against Buffalo. He had a great game last week against Indianapolis. He scored the first 2 touchdowns of the year, but I think going up against Buffalo, who give up the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, they shut that show down, especially with who's that? White that's starting at the quarterback position right now.
Uh huh.
If I'm not mistaken, but
he's starting at quarterback.
Yes, yeah, so I see. I mean, like I said, I know he found him last week, and I think he looked for him this week all he wants to. I think he might get shut down this week. But at the same time, being that his targets are up, he may be good to go ahead, if you don't have him, to pick him up and stash him because he got some great matchups coming up with the Dolphins and Houston and Philly where he may be able to eat and get you into the playoffs. But not this week.
The same thing you just said, the same reason why I picked up Jamison Crowder. I picked up Jamison Crowder because of they scheduled down the road, and I think Mike White is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson, although you got to put Zach Wilson back in there because he is the second rank. You know, he is the number 2 pick. White was actually – he was actually playing good in the Indy game until he got hurt. So – hey man, I don't want to dig on the Browns too much, but I have Landry as a sit. But I'm gonna talk about another guy, man. Bryan Edwards for the Raiders. You know, I thought when Ruggs would go down, I thought he would play a bigger part in the offense. Boy, was I wrong. Last week, 4 targets, goose eggs all across the stat line. And then the Raiders went out and picked up D-Jax. So I'm kind of worried about what his role in the offense going to be because last week Waller and Renfro and the running backs was the passing game. So does that tell me that Derek Carr doesn't have confidence in Edwards or he just has more confidence in the other guys? So Bryan Edwards, man, I got him on the bench this week. All right, Carl, give me a tight end you sitting this week.
I'm sitting Gerald Everett against Green Bay. Green Bay holding the fourth tight end to the 5th fewest points, and Everett only got 3 targets in the last three targets each in the last 2 weeks. So his targets are down, and he hasn't scored but 1 touchdown all year. I mean, unless you're missing Gronk or anybody else is injured or on a bye, another one just bypasses, unless you think because my man Russell Wilson is coming back that they may rejuvenate my man, but I don't see it happening either.
Yeah, Russ supposed to play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Everett would have a bigger year this year. Then, you know, he got COVID, then he was hurt. No, he got COVID, so he missed, the first 2 weeks of the season, I think. Something happened when he missed 2 games.
Week 4 and 5.
Yeah, so something happened when he missed 2 games. So
mm-hmm.
I thought he would have been a bigger part of that offense because Russell do like to throw to the tight ends where he used to, but, you know, now that they bombers away in Seattle. So I don't know. I thought he was a good free agent signing, but it's just as a panning out for him. Who you got, Jermaine, as a tight end? You going to sit this week?
I'm sitting David Njoku for Cleveland. He's going against New England, and as we stated in the beginning of the podcast, man, they're going to take away what you like to do. And Cleveland, you know, they got the tight ends. Of course, you got Landry, but Landry ain't going to beat, man. He's not going to scare you. I'm confident that Belichick is going to take his tight end away. He had one catch for only 18 yards last week. He did get a touchdown, but outside of that, that was his only touchdown within the last 5 weeks. He's not seen over three targets in the last four games. And Belichick is just not going to allow Najika to beat him. So sit him. Definitely sit him.
Yeah, I had Njoku also. I got somebody called picked up this week that I was shocked that he picked him up. So he must know something that the rest of the world don't know. But I'm going with Mercedes Lewis, man. And I wrote down if Tanyan were playing in this game, I would have Tanyan as a start. But being a Mercedes Lewis isn't really the pass-catching threat that Tanyan is, especially going against Seattle's weak secondary. And definitely they got two safeties that really can't cover. This would have been a great start for Tanyan. But, man, Mercedes Lewis, he just doesn't offer the same threat in the passing game. So I don't think he's rostered in – I think I saw he's not rostered in like 50% of leagues. But a lot of people know that Seattle's defense isn't that good, so they may have went out there and picked him up. But basically you wasted a waiver move if you did. I probably would have went and picked up like bro did T.J. Hockenson. Or Fant, because a lot of people drop Fant because last week he was hurt. Probably even Jarwin. I would have picked up Jarwin, but yeah, man, Mercedes Lewis definitely is in the pass threat. So yeah, man, don't even think about picking him up. Look elsewhere. I would even probably look at Freiermuth is probably picked up. Dawson Knox is coming back, so I saw him available in a lot of leagues. So, you know, you got options out there outside of Mercedes Lewis. But, okay, man, let's jump into it, man. All right, big bro, give me a quarterback. You starting this week.
Man, this guy has secretly had a pretty decent season. I didn't think it was going to go this way, but it did. That's Carson Wentz. Started going against Jacksonville Jaguars, which, you know, I don't know, 3 weeks ago I'd have said, you know, you play these guys, and he'd be top scorer that week. But the last couple weeks, man, they stepping it up on offense and defense. But nonetheless, Winston's production in the last couple weeks has been outstanding. He's thrown three touchdown passes in the last two games and two-plus in the last six games. And the last two being without T.Y. Hilton in the lineup. So with him projected to get back in the lineup this week, I think that's going to be a boom for the Colts and Carson Wentz owners to go ahead and start him and make it happen.
Actually, that's funny because I think I would have started Carson Wentz in my ESPN lead the last 3 weeks. So he's been on fire, man. I think it's, you know, maybe his ankles are finally healed and he's not playing on probably one and a half legs. So he's definitely looked good here, but I think the thing that's making him look good is Jonathan Taylor, man. When you got that,
when you got
a threat of the running game, and Taylor is running as good as he's running, hey, you should be able to throw the ball into good windows. So I like that. Who you got, Jermaine? Who's the quarterback you looking to start this week?
Man, I feel like Matty Ice, man. Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is playing some good ball, bro. He really lit up the Saints last week. He's going up against Dallas. And I don't think there's no one in America that hates Dallas more than me. Stephen A., I know you don't like him either, but you definitely don't like him more than I do. But right now, man, Dallas, they're 26 against opposing quarterbacks. Outside of Diggs, man, they could be had, bro. Even though Ridley's been out, He's still been hitting. Russell Gage, Kyle Pitts has been in the mix. Zacchaeus, he's playing good ball. I think they're gonna really. I think he's really gonna go off this week versus Dallas in a high scoring game.
Yeah, Matt Ryan definitely lit up the Saints last week, but I thought a couple of the Saints defensive calls were kind of crazy. Why would you play press coverage and they had to go 40 some yards? You play press coverage and get burnt and give up 25 yards. So, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think only one team is going to be high-scoring. I think that's going to be the Cowboys, but we shall see. I also wrote down Wentz, but I'm going to go to the guy that's going to be starting opposite of him, bro. I think Trevor Lawrence can have a big game against Indy. Indy has a good front seven, but their secondary is borderline trash. Man, they give it up in the secondary. So I like Trevor Lawrence to have a good game against Indianapolis, especially with Robinson being back this week to contribute in the pass game. So he just has to not make the mistake. Don't turn the ball over, especially in leagues where fumbles and interceptions count against you. Just don't turn the ball over. Be solid. And I think he can do that against Andy. All right, Jermaine, give me a running back. You starting this week.
Man, this is going to be – I'm going to have to throw it out there, bro. This is, I think, for the Bills. They're going up against the Jets, who have pretty much are the worst versus the run. This could be a Devin Singletary game that I think he can come out of the blue and actually get some points. And I will put a slash on this one, Zach Moss, too. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game as far as the Bills are concerned. And this is a game where I think those running backs can go off. Late the last couple of games, they've been using Beasley a lot to generate some of the run game, but I think this is a nice recipe to get Singletary some touches. So I feel that he could still have a good game and contribute some solid points to your lineup this week.
Watching the Bills game last week against Jacksonville sold out to stop the pass game.
Yep.
They didn't even respect Buffalo to run the ball. If Buffalo would have ran the ball last week, they could have ran away with that game. Because Buffalo, Jacksonville sold out to play against the pass. So Buffalo has to establish the run game. If you don't, you got to at least run the ball 20 times a game. I don't care if you run it for 20, you run it 20 times for 20 yards. Run the ball.
Yep.
They don't even want to run it, bro. So yeah, I wrote down Devin Singletary, too. You know, I was like, if Buffalo's a throwing team, but this is the week they need the game plan with the run. Teams are loading up against the pass game. So I did have Devin Singletary also. But, Big Bro, give me a running back that you rolling with this week.
Man, I know you won't have a lot to say about this. It's going to touch a nerve. But I'm starting Melvin Gordon this week. Get him. I recognize that Javonte Williams is, the heir apparent. But I think there's a place for Melvin Gordon in your starting lineup, especially with, the running backs is out. On bye. He scored double-digit points last four games. We always talk about trends and points. You need points. Now, if I got this guy who's scoring double-digit points in four consecutive games and touchdown in three straight games, are you not going to start him regardless of his backup or committee member? I think not. You're going to start this guy. And not to mention, Philly gets up six most points of running back. So if you go on that logic, maybe you start them. But you definitely need to start Melvin Gordon based off of
matchup.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't even argue that. I told you mine was personal. I just feel like Williams is a better player. I didn't give you no stats, nothing like that. Mine is strictly based off eye test. But I can't argue that. I wrote down Devin Singletary, but I'm going with this guy, man. This probably going to be his last start. Devontae Booker went off last week knowing that this was going to be – that last week was going to be his last start. And I think this guy has a chance to go off this week knowing that it's his last start going against the same team, the Raiders, Darrell Williams. The Raiders cannot stop the run. Kansas City, stop being stubborn. Teams are forcing you to run the ball. Guess what? Run the ball. It's the Raiders. They can't stop the run. Guess what that's going to do? That's going to set up all your pass plays. Play action, downfield, because safety is going to have to cheat up. Darrell Williams, you should be in Andy Reid's office blowing up his phone saying, Coach, this is the week. Because after this week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be back, and you'll be back to your third down roll. So this is your week, bro. All right, Carl, give me a wide receiver you starting this week.
Man, another guy you kind of talked about, but not too bad. And that's Hunter Renfro going against Kansas City. We all know.
Oh, that's Jermaine's guy. Hey, Carl, I bet you he got Hunter Renfro written down on his paper.
No, I didn't do it, just for that reason.
Man, he done had Hunter Renfro as a start for like 4 weeks in a row. Go ahead, big bro.
Hey, well, I'm taking it this week, doggone it. I mean, but his targets are up. You know, not. I mean, he always gets targets, but the dude is getting, he's getting the ball. He scored 3 times, but regardless of that, outside of Waller out there, he's next in line getting the majority of targets. I know you talked about Braylon, but still, Renfro is the guy that's in that slot making things happen. And we all know that Kansas City struggles with pass defense. And
They give it up.
The thing about it is looking at the numbers, they don't give up a lot to wide receivers. But if you have one of the top 10 quarterbacks, they wide receivers eat.
Yeah.
And I like to say that Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, definitely in fantasy anyway. Man, this hurt me, bro. I had A.B. Britton down as a start, and when I saw he was going to be out, that hurt me, man. Come on, A.B., man. I need you back for my stretch run, bro. I'm going with Jerry Jeudy, man, for the Broncos. I think Darius Slay is going to be on Sutton. Big bro picked up Tim Patrick, but I think Steven Nelson is going to shadow him. And both those guys, they pretty much can cover. I like Jeudy getting the targets this week, probably scoring a touchdown, because he's going to be going against the number 3 cornerback for Philly. I really, really like Jeudy to have a big game. Teddy's going to look for him on third down this week. Last week, he looked for Tim Patrick. I think this week is a Jerry Jeudy game. So I'm going with Jerry Jeudy as a start, man, only because the other two wide receivers are going to have tough matchups as Jeudy plays in the slot, and normally it's easier to get open in the slot. All right, Jermaine, give me a tight end you starting this week.
Gotcha, man. I had a wide receiver sleeper too, man. So you took my man from me, Renfro, but let me throw this in there too, man. Wide receiver sleeper, man. It's going to be Tyler Johnson. I know Big Bro would like that because AB's hurt, Godwin's hurt, and Gronk is hurt. And my man Tyler Johnson is going to be solid. Tight end-wise, this week, man, it's not a whole bunch of them out there, y'all, to be quite honest. But I like my man for Pittsburgh, man. Freiermuth, man, he's been balling, dude. Him and Ben, they've gotten some great chemistry going together. Ben has finally found somebody that he can throw over 5 yards to, which I'm happy about. But Freiermuth has been balling. Last couple of weeks, he put up some really good numbers. And this week they're going up against Detroit, where I think they're going to just demolish them. Definitely start him this week.
All right. Damn, bro, I think I missed you. Who was your wide receiver start?
Yeah, I wanted to go with Tyler Johnson for the Bucs because right now AB's hurt. Godwin is a little hobbled, and you ought to know what's going on with Gronk. But Tyler, when he got an opportunity, I mean, Big Bro, he could, you know, vouch for this. He's played well, man. He had 5 catches, 65 yards last week, and he's going up against our raggedy football, Washington football team, which you already know they're going to score by 80 on him. So, I think he's a solid play this week, bro.
I don't know, man. I think if they get up there in the 40s, man, I think somebody gonna lay a dirty hit on Brady, so they might want to watch it. but all right, Tyler Johnson. All right, Big Bro, give me a tight end you looking to start this week.
Man, I talked about him a little earlier. That's Tyler Higbee versus the Niners, man. He's second most targeted player on the Rams. San Fran doesn't really give it up to the tight end, but like I said, matchup-wise and based on production and targets, you know, it don't matter if you don't give it up if I'm steady giving you a heavy dose of this tight end. And especially with the other weapons they have, I think that he's going to eat this week. He had a great target factory last week going against Tennessee, and I think they continue that this week. Going against San Fran, working them on in.
All right, man. I'm going with a guy, man, that I picked as quarterback. I thought about his quarterback as a starter, man. I'm going with Dan Arnold, man. You know, when they traded for him early in the year, I was like, okay, most people don't trade a DB for a tight end. But, you know, they traded a DB for a tight end, and I see why. Arnold has definitely been Trevor Lawrence's security blanket. And like I said, Indianapolis secondary isn't that good. So I look for Dan Arnold to have another solid game this week. All right, real quick, Carl, give me a sleeper.
Sleeper this week is Marquez Callaway going against Tennessee. That secondary is iffy. And I think Callaway is the number one wide receiver down there right now. I think he eat this week.
Man, Callaway looks so good in preseason. I just don't know why it hasn't translated to the regular season. I mean, he was like on a fire in the preseason. But, you know, sometimes when the games count, the butt cheeks do get tight, so – you know, all right, Jermaine, give me a sleeper. Give me a sleeper because Tyler Johnson you had as a start.
Yeah. Okay, man. I like Jamal Agnew, man, for the Jags, man, to be honest, going against the Colts. The Colts defense is being a total opposite of what it was last year. And they, just like you was talking about, man, Jamal Agnew, they really try to get him the ball and give him opportunities. I think he can do some damage this week going up against the Colts.
Man, with a lot of running backs being out this week, I'm going with another running back, man. I'm going with the kid, Derek Gore, for Kansas City, man. I think Kansas City is going to run the ball this week. Although that's not in their DNA, I think the run game is going to be there. We all know the Raiders give it up on the ground. Is Andy Reid going to be smart and running the ball? If he does, I think Derek Gore can probably get you about 40 yards on a touchdown. I think Darrell Williams can go over 100 and probably get you a touchdown. So if Kansas City run the ball, Derek Gore should be a good sleeper, man. Any last words, Carl?
I don't think I've ever been on a four-game losing streak. So just pray for you, boy. Pray for you.
You on a four-game losing streak in what league?
In my league, Big Clark League, bro.
Damn. Yeah, I saw Dwight was in first place this week.
Yeah, he still is.
And I saw your boy, since he was talking trash, tighten up. Well, he on a three-game? Yeah.
No.
He ain't undefeated.
One game.
But, yeah, he went from undefeated to now he got three losses.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? I'm 4-5, so I lost four straight. But shoot, I'm still number 16. I gotta do is get in. You know the rule.
Yeah, just gotta get in, baby. Anything can happen.
Yeah, man.
That's great, bro.
See, the crazy part was I beat Big Bro. I was like, man, maybe I can make a push. Then fucking Dwight come and blow my ass out last week. I was like, damn. So my only saving grace was Carl lost in another league that we in. So me and him tied for first right now. So I was like, all right, cool. That's in the VA league.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, I'm in second. I think you got that all by yourself, bro.
No, you in first because you got more points than me.
Oh, you mean in a division? Yeah. I like the way this league is going. I ain't really impressed with the team in first place. I think he just got lucky in a weak division.
Yeah, the one that's undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he got one L. He got one L, but you know he only got like 15 more points than me, and you know maybe 30 more points than you. I think come fair time, he takes his L from one of us.
Yeah.
Really
but.
Yeah.
Man. All right, Jermaine, any last words?
Yeah, man. It's one thing to battle injuries, man, but dang COVID, man. COVID is killing your lineup too, bro. It's like... This ain't like Jumanji, don't it, bro? It's like, gosh, no. So, man, I don't know, man. Just you're going to have to play the waiver wire hard this year, guys, everybody. If it ain't for injuries, it's COVID, and you're just going to have to play the waiver wire and have a backup plan to your backup this year.
Mm-hmm. Man, the crazy part is I've been kind of sticking with Big Bro's plan as far as sticking with the players I drafted. I really haven't made too many waiver wire moves unless, you know, somebody get injured or, you know, if somebody get COVID. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, they handicap your team, like you said.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to ride my teams out. Man, Chris Carson is killing me. You know, Chubb is killing me this week. You know, Aaron Rodgers killed me last week. The week before that, Devontae Adams killed me. It's like, come on, bro. And then AB is really killing me. So, you know, man, I'm just trying to make moves just to, you know, just to have a lineup. But I'm really trying to keep my core players, hoping that down the stretch, you know, that, you know, everybody will be healthy and they can, you know, go forward. So, but, you know, on week 10, you know, everybody have a good week. Like we always say, you can't win your league without winning your week. So, got to win your weeks. This time of year that you trying to solidify your playoff spot or you kicking and clawing trying to get in the playoffs. So, you can't win it if you can't get in the playoffs. So, everybody have a good weekend. As always, we always end the show with a peace.
Peace.